Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all who believe in him may have eternal life. Some changes in life arrive relatively slowly, almost imperceptible one day to the next, but given time, become clear. Our uncreased skin at birth, given time, marks our age. That stream that meanders through the landscape, given time, can carve out a canyon. The clothes that we wear today, given time, will wash away with the tide of fashion. Some of us are already there. And while day by day, moment by moment, we might not be able to see the change, we might not even know that it's happening, it is. Which means, of course, that unless we make some heroic effort to the contrary, unless we make a conscious stand against whatever change we are facing, most of us are just pulled along with the current, slowly adapting to the ever-changing world for better or worse. We might be surprised by what we can adapt to if it comes on slowly enough. Only not every change comes on slowly. No, some change comes on so quickly it can give us whiplash. One day the world looks this way, and the next day it doesn't. And while chances are high, most of us have experienced that as individuals in that moment after that phone call, that diagnosis, that accident, that discovery. 1 year ago, we all experienced it together, a sudden and abrupt change. One day we could be with friends and neighbors, go to work and school in person, sit in our own sanctuary for worship, and the next day we couldn't. We hadn't planned on it. It wasn't in any memo. We didn't have it in our strategic plan. I checked. And worse, we couldn't do anything to avoid it. We couldn't delay it for another year. We couldn't ask for an extension. No, friends, the truth is, when change came, we just had to change, to turn our attention away from whatever had occupied our time, our effort, and energy, and toward that most basic human instinct of all, survival. When the world changed, we just looked to survive. We did our very best to turn in the direction of life. Or at least we tried. What did that turn look like for you? What does it look like now? It's hard to believe that it's been 1 year. In some ways, it feels like it's been the longest year of our lives, and in some ways, it feels like it has just gone by so quickly. You know, now that we've been through it, of course, looking back, it's hard to remember just how those first few days felt. There was a visceral, palpable change in the air, and we did not know what to do with it. We were uncertain and scared. The medical professionals hadn't yet figured out exactly how this virus spread. We hadn't yet figured out what we needed to do, what we could and what we shouldn't do. We hadn't yet figured out how to fully treat it. In other words, we were just scared. We kept going back into that very basic human response, that evolutionary response, fight, flight, freeze, fight, flight, freeze, fight, flight, freeze. Maybe some of us feel like we're still there. The point is, we all reacted differently. We do to change. And while some went straight for the toilet paper hoarding, first things first, others of us recognized pretty early on that we were going to need to grab on to some anchor in the midst of this tempestuous storm. We needed something that was going to ground us, some beacon of light. Some of us recognized that we needed to turn toward life, or at least try. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. As we've shared, this marks our 1 year anniversary, 525,600 minutes in. This marks our 1 year anniversary, and I pray the last one of virtual only worship at Asbury First, the first time in 200 years, and I pray the last time. Okay, yes, some out there will remember that that very first Sunday, March 15th, beware the Ides of March, we did have a few people in our sanctuary with us. I think the number was somewhere around 16. We had convinced most people to stay away, but hadn't yet closed down fully. But every week since then, for 52 weeks, these pews have remained empty. And yet somehow, almost miraculously, the church has remained full, and in some ways fuller than we were ever before. We now have people who come to us from all over the world. We now have more people worshiping with us on any given Sunday than even the biggest Sundays in the years before. We now have a congregation filled with people that we have never met, whose faces we have never and might not ever see, and yet who are a part of us. We've had people tune in from 50 states, thank you, Montana, and over 30 countries who found this place as their church home. People have turned to their screens and to their televisions and to their phones and to their devices in a way we had never before imagined. We have grown in this time. Maybe I should tell people to stay away from church more often. As I said, in those first few weeks of the pandemic, I'm much more used to people being here and not listening than people not being here and listening. But friends, the truth is, I get it. I too have needed something to ground me in this time. I too have needed to reach out and hold on to something. It makes sense, doesn't it? Nothing like a little global pandemic for an existential reality check. When we're confronted daily with our own mortality, when all of those usual things we use to distract us from the reality of life and death are taken away, we need something to hold on to. We need something to anchor us in the storm, some beacon of light. We need something to point us in the direction of life. Historically, of course, we haven't always been great at that, have we? We look for love in all the wrong places. We like those quick fixes, those things that'll make us feel good for a moment, sex, money, drugs, alcohol. We know those things, don't we? Only in the end, so many of them don't have any life to give us. And so we find ourselves empty and still searching. And maybe that changed over time, but the truth is it's been happening for quite some time. Just look at the ancient world and snakes. Yeah, you heard me right, the ancient world and snakes. It's hard to believe, strange as it may seem, but for so many centuries in the ancient world, people believed that snakes had the power to heal, to bring life. We don't quite know how it started, given that snake bites are generally considered a bad thing, even the non-poisonous kind. Our best guess is that maybe because snakes shed their skin, people saw them as a symbol for new life. What we do know is that throughout the ancient world, there are constant stories of people who looked towards snakes when they needed healing, when they needed to find life. In ancient Greek culture, there are stories of snakes and healing. In the Roman culture, there were snakes, the stories of snakes and healing. Even in our own history, even in our own tradition, there are stories of snakes and healing. We hear one hinted at in the lesson for today. Maybe you remember that passage from the book of Numbers, chapter 21, in which Moses and the Hebrew people are wandering the desert, and the Hebrew people keep finding themselves being bitten by poisonous snakes, and so they turn to Moses for help. And so Moses holds up a pole with, you guessed it, a snake on it, a bronze serpent, and telling them, anyone who looks at the serpent will live. He held up his staff with a serpent on it and promised that anyone who looked at it would live. And while we scratch our heads and scoff, thinking to ourselves, silly ancient people, we sometimes forget that to this very day, the symbol we use for our medical profession is a staff with two intertwined serpents. It is so easy to look for life from places that don't have it to offer. And there's no shortage of people offering things that we can grasp onto, that promise us life that they just don't have to give. And the challenge, as we know, is that if we invest too much of our time and effort and energy in those things, if we put too much of ourselves into those things that promise life that they don't have to give, just like the snakes, it will come back to bite us in the end. So the question is, friends, where do we turn for life? When the storm rolls in and everything seems to be falling apart, when that change comes, where do we look for life? That is the Christian question, isn't it? That's why we're here, or there and here. That's part of what the church is. Look, the church doesn't have it all figured out. We don't have it all figured out. We are imperfect people recognizing that we are more perfect together than we are apart. But we do know this, that our job is to stand with one another in the storms of life, whether it's fast changing or it comes on suddenly, and keep pointing each other in the direction of life. We're here to keep reminding each other that there is a kind of life out there that not even death can destroy. A kind of life that whether this is our first Sunday or our last, we can still grasp onto. A kind of life promised by Jesus Christ. If you have heard nothing else in this entire year from me, if you have ignored basically everything I've said, I don't blame you. If you have not heard anything else, I hope you hear this. The promise of our faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope that we come to daily proclaim is that there is life out there, and here's how you get it, through love. The gospel in four words, love leads to life. Everything else can go away, but that is what we believe. That is the gospel in miniature. That is who we are. The more we love, the closer we come towards life. If we find ourselves lost, if we find ourselves stuck, we need only turn in the direction of love and we will find life. We've discovered that this year, haven't we? Look at all the ways that we have reached out to one another. Look at all the ways that we have done our best to overcome that distance. Look at all the ways that we have tried to help. And look at what we have discovered along the way. Let us not lose that. There are other, of course, miniature gospels out there. We hear one in our passage for today, John 3:16. You may recognize it from stadiums and concert halls or bumper stickers. People put it out there thinking it says everything. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And they typically stop there. They shake their finger. They use it too often as a bludgeon against people who are struggling with their faith or struggling to understand it. They use it as a warning about what might happen to you if you die before believing in Jesus Christ. But the point is the exact opposite. We forget the very next verse. God did not send God's Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The world, it's hard to get bigger than that. Friends, the entire point of this is a warning, not about what happens when we die, about what happens when we fail to live, and how easy it is to turn in directions that ultimately cannot give us life. But the good news is we know where to turn. See, John was writing this passage, this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, to a people who had just watched their entire world turned upside down, who had been kicked out of their synagogue, who could no longer be close to the people that they were close to before, who no longer believed that Jesus was coming back any moment, and suddenly had to figure out what to do with their faith. And John was trying to tell them in this passage, just keep turning in the direction of life. You know how to do it. Friends, by God's grace, it feels as though we are coming near the end of this pandemic. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? You never know what a day is going to bring, but it feels like we're inching our way closer to this pandemic. And while the change that we've just experienced was made for us, now it's our turn to choose the change going forward. It's our turn to make those changes in our life that allow us to love a little bit better. Sure, we could just go back to how it was before, bowing down to the tyranny of our schedules. Who knows? Maybe there are those out there who found life in that space between soccer practice and piano, between the sales pitch and the ski slope. But not all of us. This is a chance to make a change for the better, to have taken away something from this moment and to have reminded ourselves of what life should be. And so, friends, if you, upon looking at your life, recognize that there might be something that you need to change to be a little more loving, no time like the present. The good news is change doesn't always just happen in a snap. If it's scary to think about just changing it tomorrow, maybe we could each start by making one of those slow changes, those kinds that are almost imperceptible day by day, but given time, become clear. Because if we could each do that, friends, day by day, making a slight choice, a different choice, a better choice to turn in the direction of life through love, we might be surprised by where we end up in a year. If this pandemic has taught us anything, it is that things can change. And if we're willing to help them change for the better, then heaven forbid the next time our world gets turned upside down and change comes one day to the next, people will already know in which direction to turn. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have life eternal. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.